All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast. I'm your co-host, Bryce Paul, as always, joined by my good buddy, Mr. Brendan Veman. Brendan, how goes it? I trust things are well.
Things are going great over here. You know, when are things not going good? I'm seeing all sorts of awesome headlines. I'm sure you've seen them here recently, Bryce. Just all sorts of regulatory changes and adoptions and all these great catalysts. And we got the awesome pleasure of speaking about one of those big headlines today.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I even saw that Coinbase will allow me to borrow against my Bitcoin and get cash. I mean, these are crazy new innovations that are happening. And it just so happens we ran into Merlan Egalite, just ran into him on the street. We recognized him from Morpho, and we decided to pull him aside. No, we're excited to speak with Merlan. He's the head of integrations at Morpho, and there's a lot that's going on. Merlan, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you for the invite. It's great to be here, and nice to meet you, and great to have Bumper while walking in San Diego.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm excited because I know you're a self-proclaimed wizard who's making finance a public good. I believe I saw that somewhere. But we want to know.
Being on Twitter, I guess.
Yeah. We want to know what that means. We want to know a little bit about who you are and how you came to get involved with Morpho. And I also want everybody to know Morpho has been around the block. Their founder, Paul Frambeau, was on the show about 10 months ago, so back in March. So highly encourage everybody to listen to that to get a primer on Morpho. And we're going to dive into some other aspects of the business. But yeah, love to have you introduce yourself and what you're working on.
Right. So about me, let's put it short. So I was in engineering school. I wanted to create startups and become an entrepreneur. But at the same time, I was reading books about the finance, economy, and I was like struck by something that, okay, this world is totally broken. There's a lot of corruption. Nobody's understanding. Even people in that sector are not understanding it. So I was like, what can we do to fix that? How can we make it more transparent? How can we make it more resilient to crisis or those kind of things? And I found the blockchain world. Then I started like learning about this, and because I was learning how to code, etc., I started contributing also to open source projects. In parallel, I was doing some trying to launch some businesses that were not linked to the blockchain world. But I started coding and also doing smart contract reviews, security reviews, and those kind of things. And at some point, I wanted to create my own DeFi protocol. And I guess it was during ETH Global 2020. I met Paul for the first time over Discord. I think he couldn't join my team because he had some English exam or something like that. A student stuff, right? But anyway, and 6 months after, I think he had a teacher that had the first idea of Morpho, which was a Morpho optimizer. And by the way, this kind of version of is deprecated now. Anyway, he had this idea and another idea that led to another DeFi protocol called Mangrove. But he had no time to work on the optimizer. So Paul was wanted to build that stuff, and he started creating a team around that project. And so he called Mathis and Julian, who are the other co-founders, and also he called me, and it was like, hey man, I have a super great idea of a lending protocol in the DeFi space. And I was exactly at this moment doing some stuff, credit delegation on top of Aave, and I wanted to do maybe some sort of under collateralized lending protocol. And I was like, oh my god, like stars are aligned, let's do it. And this is how we started building Morpho, at least the first version.
Awesome. And I take it things have surpassed your expectations. When you started, I'm sure you didn't expect all this success. You're just like, hey, we're just a bunch of guys developing. Maybe it'll stick. We're going to throw noodles at the wall and see which ones stick. And here you are.
Yeah. Actually, it was a student project. So literally, we started during our studies. So I'm in the first year. We raised funds two times, and we hired like freelancers and full-time employees while we were still studying. I think if you had told me that we would be there at that time, I wouldn't have believed you. To be fair, and but yeah. I guess luck and hard work, I guess.
Yeah, and you originally specialized in mathematics and artificial intelligence, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's funny because now we are of the convergence of AI and blockchain again. It's been a few years that I haven't done any AI machine learning stuff, but now it's converging again. So I think we'll need to have those kind of skills and knowledge, maybe to leverage them, because I do think that it will be one big sector if we take like a 5 or 10 years scale.
Yeah, it's also why maybe the new president of the United States talked about the AI and crypto czar, not like two separate roles, not separate. It's like very intertwined. So I agree with you. Yeah. I think it's going to be the same.
Yeah, both technologies have a lot of implications on jobs, on societies, on like the overall tech. What you can do with just one human right now, maybe you'll be able to do with like no human at all, or one human will be able to do like what 100 or 1,000 of people can do right now. So. And plus blockchain, it will have like drastic impact on a society for sure. So I do think it's an important thing to have the both at the same time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates. So you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And you know, we've been seeing some really cool stuff around both the crypto and the AI sector recently. I mean, DeepSeek has been a huge kind of wake-up call.
Yeah.
And I think that with the growing adoption that crypto's getting, I saw that there's a ton of US money that's going to be allocated towards artificial intelligence moving forward. And what this really does is competition inspires innovation, especially when there's this intentional focus to get both crypto and AI regulated, get them funded, and then also have big competition happening at the same time. I think what this does is it really accelerates the process of growth. And I think that what we've seen over the last 4 years, can really be condensed kind of moving forward. I think it's going to take a fraction of the time to see the same amount of growth moving forward because of this very intentional effort towards both of these fields. So we're excited to see how they intersect. And I think, both of you guys are right. We're going to see some really cool stuff moving forward.
Yeah, man. And speaking of cool stuff moving forward, let's just touch on sort of the biggest thing that came out in the news recently, just so happened to be by the DAO that you're working with, Morpho, whereby, you know, normal users of the Coinbase retail application can actually get loans against their Bitcoin. And it's almost like, you know, for some people being like, well, that doesn't make much sense to me. You know, that doesn't make much sense, whatever. Because some people have said that, or they don't get it. it's almost like a HELOC, right? Like a home equity line of credit, like where you could take a loan out against the equity that you've built up in your home. You know, you could get that through a lot of places very easily, very quickly. You pay a certain, you know, interest rate. But now you could do that, and it's not putting up your home as collateral, it's putting up your Bitcoin as collateral. So walk us through this process. How did it come to be from the very start? And where is it now? And kind of where's that whole platform kind of going? Because I do believe there's a threshold. You can't borrow more than 100 grand.
Right. About this threshold, just shortly, I think it might be just at the beginning. Right now, the rollout is just for 1% of the Coinbase users, and it will be over time increased. It's just like so that they have the time to test and make sure that the user experience is perfect. But how can they come to do that integration with Morpho? I think it's Coinbase has understood that using blockchain as a backend is so much more efficient than using TradFi guardrails. TradFi rails, sorry. Just because you remove all intermediaries, you have kind of a standardized way of interacting with any protocol. You don't need to request access to APIs. They cannot be shut down. You can send and transfer stable coins to whatever the address, whenever in the entire globe. And I think Coinbase has really understood this, and this kind of like DeFi mullet meme that we are seeing more and more in the DeFi space, where you have the fintech or centralized exchange user experience that is it's super easy to draw a loan, it's super easy to trade stable coins or whatever shit coins you want.
That's great. I was just laughing.
Yeah. Okay. But everything was done on servers before, at least for the centralized exchange. Mm-hmm. And so this has like for each server, you need to pay the cost. You need to hire a bunch of like security people. You need to also have like servers on different location, etc. Everything adds up, and that's like a huge cost to the fintech or the centralized exchange operating the service or the product. But if you externalize all that, all those kind of things to a blockchain that is fully immutable, where the verification is like done automatically because it's trustless code, then you drastically reduce your cost. And so giving access to that product to Coinbase users is just a no-brainer for them. And I think they have understood this before anyone else, and they have been the kind of the first mover into that direction. And this is kind of pointing the way forward for every other fintechs in the world.
And I guess my thought here is, you know, where's the risk that Coinbase takes with this, and what's their responsibility to their clients versus where's, like, you know, with the risk being assumed by Morpho, you know, kind of like how does that all shake out? Like, you know, if there was a vault that went insolvent or something like that.
Right. So first, I'm not a legal expert.
advice, nothing's investment advice.
So they are not interacting with a vault yet. It's not an earned product. So vault is only on the lending side on Morpho. So maybe I can speak about briefly about how Morpho works. You have that lending primitive with you can create many markets permissionlessly. Create markets. Those markets are isolated so that if something bad's happened on one market, it does not affect the others, which is completely different from the lending pools that Aave or Compound have, which is great to have those isolated markets because you can basically create an infinite number of markets without increasing the overall systemic risk of the protocol. Anyway, Coinbase is interacting, letting users interact only with one market, which is the CBBTC as collateral and USDC as loan asset. So it's one market. It's fully immutable. Risk parameters cannot change. There's no governance process in this. So they are basically trusting immutable code deployed on a decentralized blockchain. So on that, and the Coinbase app is based on the smart wallet, Coinbase smart wallet. So users can or decide not to use that product. It's up to them. It's fully non-custodial. So I don't think they are taking any risk in that, because at the end of the day, it's the user that has his token that is taking the decision. And it's explained that it's powered by MoFo behind the scene, etc.
No, I think that makes sense. And I want to circle back to something that we were just talking about a second ago, because I was thinking a little bit deeper about it. You know, when it comes to how these loans will be used, I think that there's a lot of different ways that people can go about it. And so I'm curious, you know, what you think are the most common ways that you're going to see these loans used? Because from my brain, you know, I'm a trader. I'm notorious for it. I love my trading. When I think of this, and I can take, you know, I can kind of get a loan on my Bitcoin. Well, maybe I want to go trade some altcoins. You know, maybe I want to hold on to that Bitcoin for a long-term hold, but maybe I see a really good investment opportunity and I want to go trade some Solana or a futures contract or a perpetual contract or fill in the blank. You know, I can do that here, but by getting a loan against my Bitcoin. And I know that's just probably narrow-minded because I like to trade and that is what comes to my brain. But what are some of the other ways that you see or...
Right.
Yeah.
So... I think there's still a difference between the classic DeFi user and the classic Coinbase user. In DeFi, we're used to, it's mostly about the speculation. It's mostly about like leveraging. If you draw a loan, it's because you will deposit that liquidity elsewhere to earn a better yield or something like that in general. With Coinbase, we are tapping into a much broader number of people. Like they have literally like 100 millions of users. So of course, in those users, there's just like normal people that are not trading meme coins every day or not using DeFi, but they may have Bitcoin because they only know about Bitcoin and Ethereum, and they don't want to sell them. They're kind of bullish. And I think what Coinbase did is they can abstract the fact of getting a loan of in USDC and off-ramping it to USD. And so if you have the Coinbase card you can just basically spend those USD at the grocery. Or you maybe can pay parts of your car or something like that, which is something that I think is not there yet in the DeFi space. Okay, I have a loan of USDC, but then I need to proceed to the off-ramping myself, etc., which is kind of cumbersome. Here, it's all abstracted. So I do think we'll see real use case in the real world thanks to that kind of product.
And so when it comes to these loans, and maybe you can help me understand this, is it more so tied to the USD amount or the BTC amount? Because, you know, what if someone takes out a loan, let's just say $1,000, they take out a loan of $1,000, they go, they spend that at the grocery store, or they spend half that at the grocery store. Now they have $500 left in the loan, but the BTC that they are borrowing against doubles in price. Does that mean that everything's paid off and they're good to go? How does that work?
that would be great. This is Coinbase could create that kind of feature. Basically, like repaying the loan thanks to the collateral. You just need to swap the collateral for the loan asset and repay the debt.
I think Alchemix could do- I think Alchemix kind of started that yeah. whole thing back, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, self-repaying DeFi loans, but I don't think they
And Morpho in the next few weeks or month, you'll be, I mean, on the interface, you'll be able to do that. But Coinbase could clearly build that, that thing. So it's just a matter of like developing this. And I do think they will iterate, on the product and, on the back, Bitcoin, the back loan, thing. And this is totally something that they could integrate.
Wow.
That, it's that not be, for now.
Yeah. And it's hopeful thinking. Hopefully, eventually, you know, we go from 1% penetration of the Coinbase users to, you know, 10% to eventually 100%, and everybody could use it. What are the numbers you guys are anticipating just in terms of maybe adoption here for this program? And then maybe you could contextualize that in terms of your total addressable market for all of those.
Right. So right now, Morpho is 6 billion of total deposits. So we've seen one of the largest growth in the DeFi space during the bear market. And now we are entering like top 5-6 biggest DeFi protocols. So that was a really huge growth. This kind of this type of integration will contribute, I guess, to making even bigger. For this specific integration, we are thinking about maybe like 30-60 mil for the first month if they do the rollout to 10% of users, let's say. And once it's 100%, maybe 100-200 mil over the next 3 months. Over a year, hard to say. Maybe 1 billion. I wouldn't be surprised if it's that. But at the same time, market condition can, I don't know, if we enter a bear market and every users get liquidated or whatever, can drastically change the estimation. So, yeah.
Please don't jinx it. We don't want to see a lot of liquidation.
Yeah, maybe it will be just like 100k at the end of the year, and I will really send to that podcast and what I what I said.
No, I love it. It's bold, it's ambitious, and it's also kind of moving. You know, it's not moving too fast where you're going to break things that have, you know, tremendous amounts of value. You're doing it in a very measured pace. Which I think is the right way to do it. And I think from my vantage point, there's going to be other TradFi companies that look at what you're doing with Coinbase. And they're going to say, hold on, I want to do that too. Whether you're Robinhood, whether you're you know, Revolut, whether you are any other these other sort of neobanks or exchanges, and even the big companies that are going to be coming on, like Charles Schwab and whatever, who are going to have lots of spot Bitcoin and have clients that have it. I mean, I think that this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, totally. I think you've all seen the acquisition from Stripe acquiring. I think it was Bridge for 1.1 billion or something like that. Yep. Same thing. I was saying, fintech I've understood that using blockchain will drastically reduce their cost. They have the distribution and the user experience, but blockchain is bringing the efficiency, the transparency, So I think it's just the beginning. I'm pretty sure that Stripe will show new stuff and the fintech that you mentioned, Robinhood and Revolut, especially Robinhood, has been quite close to crypto, etc. So I'm pretty sure that we'll try to do those kind of either earn products, either borrow product like Coinbase, hopefully on Morpho. But I'd be glad anyway if they do stuff on chain, and I'm pretty sure they will.
There's so much to look forward to. I mean, it's crazy if we were to have the same conversation, and I feel like I say this a lot, but if we were to have the same conversation, even like a year ago, 2 years ago, last cycle, we would just be like foaming at the mouth with how cool this stuff is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like in the future, can you see maybe loans on other cryptocurrencies? And maybe even more broad than that, like, could we see loans not only on other cryptocurrencies, but maybe tokenized assets as well?
Right. You mean for the Coinbase product specifically, or in general?
I think in general, you know, whether it's okay. Coinbase or another provider.
Yeah, I think Coinbase, let's start with Coinbase. I think they want to expand the number of assets that could be the collateral. I mean, they have that CBE facet, so it could make sense, a lot of sense, to also allow ETH holder to wrap their ETH into CBEF and to be able to draw a loan against that. What I, for other asset on Coinbase, I don't know. That's a good question. For other DeFi, fintech DeFi integration, I'm pretty sure we'll see some tokenized thing happening. I think right now it's a bit too early, in the sense, like, I don't think there's a PMF right now on real world asset and tokenized assets, because rates in DeFi are super high, so it just does not make sense to use those assets right now. But in a bear market where DeFi rates are much lower, it makes a lot of sense to be able to access real world asset TBL's yield, because it would be higher than what you can find in DeFi. And if you don't want to quit the ecosystem and still be able to use open infrastructure on chain, then your only solution will be to take position on those assets. We have a few examples already on market that have been created with a real world asset as collateral and stablecoin as loan asset. Even like permission market. So because on MoFo you can create fully permission market so that you can be compliant to any regulation. So if you're a fintech, you can create, I want to gate the borrowing side. I just want to have my borrowers being able to borrow on that market. But I allow any lenders to lend to my borrowers. Totally doable on MoFo. And this way you can still be compliant and at the same time tap into the network effect of the MoFo protocol.
Wow. Wow. So in the future, you're telling me I could borrow against my XRP. That's what I'm hearing.
I guess you'll be able in the synthetic version. I guess you could do it actually.
Awesome. Well, hey, you know, all jokes aside, you know, when we're looking at these Bitcoin loans, what kind of interest rate or borrowing rate can we look at for them?
So I think last time I checked, it's 6%. It's not that big, given the market conditions where everyone is leveraging a lot on their ETH and looping on ETH USDC, etc. And I think this is the best rate that you can get on Base, the chain like where MoFo is deployed for the Coinbase integration. So yeah, it's quite cheap actually.
Yeah. Awesome. No, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, I only got a couple questions left, but I'm thinking, how does the MoFo token play a role in the ecosystem here?
Right. That's a good question. Currently, with the MoFo token, we are exploring grants to at the protocol level, the governance has basically no rights, and this is by design. We think that open financial infrastructures that really scale should be built as should be immutable, should be governance minimized, even though perhaps even no governance at all. It should be trustless, etc. So at the MoFo protocol level, the governance can only whitelist new interest rate model that can be used on a market, no new collateral factor, and turn on the fee switch. Turning the fee switch is one of the most important thing you can do actually as a token holder, similar to what you can do on Uniswap. And basically after deciding on where to send that fee. So that's the biggest power. But also allocating the treasury of Morpho tokens. As I said, that we were exploring grants and we want to attract builders and build products and projects that make sense. So we are starting with small grants and not giving away millions right now. I'm curious what will come from that first grant.
Yeah, and we really, really are excited to see as well what comes from these grants and how we can get our hands on these products. And Merlon, we greatly appreciate you joining us today on the Crypto 101 podcast. Before we let you go, a couple closing questions, but we just want to know, where do you see DeFi going in the immediate future here with 2025? Kind of, you're on the cutting edge, and a lot of us listening at home, we want to know kind of what you're seeing as what's directly on the horizon for this year that you think is most innovative.
Right. So we've talked about fintechs a lot during this podcast. I think by the end of this year, we'll have a few more fintech that have integrated DeFi protocols as a backend. And we are seeing this inflow of users coming from the TradFi world, coming on chain, not because they have set up a wallet or etc., but because they had already access to a fintech and now they can one click and use a smart wallet or whatever and own tokens, own positions on DeFi protocols. So I think this is one thing. Also, I think with all that AI frenzy, etc., we'll see a lot of scams and things like that, like in any bull markets. But at the end of the day, I do think that AI will kind of improve the UX. Let's take bridging tokens across multi-chains. This can be super annoying for users. But if you can infer the intent and then use, I don't know, an intent-based protocol, and the AI is doing this for you, maybe all that complexity can be abstracted away. And within the wallet, if the AI system is integrated within the wallet, then the user is just inputting, hey, I want to send to that address. And it's sending to that address, but on the correct chain, for instance, and doing all the using the correct bridge, all those kind of things. I think it will take time. So it's not for the next 6 months, but maybe 1 year, we'll see a drastic improvement on the UX side. Also, portfolio management, all those kind of things will be automated so that people don't need to check every day what they should do and where to find the best rate. So I think this is another thing. And plus, with the regulation that are kind of being more, clearer and on the whole space, I think we'll also see more institutional players coming, not just fintechs and centralized exchange. We'll see that and then playing around and doing stuff on chain as well. But we'll see.
Hey, that's a great synopsis. The intent-based bridging and intent-based protocols, I think, are going to be huge. And sort of like the decentralized finance with a little bit of overlay of the artificial intelligence stuff where you could kind of interact and talk to your wallet and talk to these blockchain networks and say, hey, you know, I've got, you know, Jido Sol, where's the best place to get rates on it today? Or I've got X, Y, and Z token, you know, what pools can I lend to? So you have your LLM or your ChatGPT version of your wallet, essentially, navigating and being kind of like your little crypto analyst and telling you where you, you know, can deploy and, you know, not necessarily as an investment advisor, although I'm sure that those conversations will come up. Like if he's telling you where to put your money and then he's doing it for you and it's a robot, then it needs to be registered as a robo advisor or something. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, well, there's going to be lots of lots of fun stuff to duke out. But at least it seems like the tide has shifted positive for in terms of regulation for certainly the folks over in America, and we'll see how everything shakes out in the EU and abroad. But yeah, we're optimistic.
We'll see what happens in the EU.
No, hey, we're excited, Merlon. Where can people find out more about you and Morpho? Any Twitter or X handles or websites we could put in the show notes?
So my Twitter account is Merlin Egalite, M-E-R-L-E-N, capital letter E-G-A-L-I-T-E. So on Twitter, and if you want to know more about Morpho Labs and Morpho in general, is the Twitter account is Morpho Labs. So capital letter on Morpho and Labs also capital letter. Awesome. That's it.
Well, hey, we're excited about what you guys are building. We look forward to speaking with you again soon, and thank you for building the future of finance, making it a public good, and keeping us on the right track and on the right side of history here. So we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chris and Brendan. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Take care. Everybody at home watching, hope you enjoyed. That was Morpho Labs. We'll talk to you guys next week. Same time, same place. Some more great guests coming your way.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.